Please turn in your Bibles to Revelation 13:1. We finished chapter 12 last week, where Satan was being kicked out of heaven, and that the chapter ends with the fact that when Satan is kicked out of heaven and all of his fallen angels, he goes down to the earth, and it's woe, woe to the earth, because Satan knows he has a short time. He knows he's going to lose. He goes down and he's going to make war against the woman, who is Israel, and against her offspring and those that hold the testimony of Jesus. And so the Antichrist, 3.5 years into the tribulation period, is a lot of things are happening. Satan gets kicked out of heaven. Antichrist kills the two witnesses. Antichrist goes into the rebuilt third temple and commits the abomination of desolation. Then he goes on a rampage to hunt down Jews and to kill them and to hunt down anybody that professes the name of Jesus and kills them. And what he's going to do all that, Satan's doing all that through this Antichrist, which we learn about today. Chapter 13 is another parenthetical part of the scripture. It's not timeline. It's dealing with, at this point, all these things are happening, and it brings us to the awareness of who the Antichrist is. And it says, "Then I stood on the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rising up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and on his horns 10 crowns, and on his heads a blasphemous name. Now the beast which I saw was like a leopard, his feet were like the feet of a bear, and his mouth like the mouth of a lion. The dragon gave him his power, his throne, and great authority. And I saw one of his heads as if it had been mortally wounded, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world marveled and followed the beast. So they worshipped the dragon who gave authority to the beast, and they worshipped the beast, saying, 'Who is like the beast? Who is able to make war with him?' And he was given a mouth, speaking great things and blasphemies, and he was given authority to continue for 42 months. Then he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name, his tabernacle, and those who dwell in heaven." And we're going to cover these verses in greater detail, but again, as I've emphasized throughout Revelation, if you just hand the book of Revelation to somebody and say, "Okay, what does this mean?" And, you know, if it's not familiar with the Bible, just handed those first 6 verses of chapter 13, they would say, "Wow, you know, how in the world can anybody know?" And Revelation is going to add some information here, but the real key to unlocking this section of Revelation and other parts is Daniel. But we're going to go to Revelation 11:7 first, because it says, we're going to look at verse 1 here. It says, that, you know, verse 1 of chapter 13, as you're turning to 11, verse 7, it says, "Then I stood on the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rising up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and on his horns 10 crowns, and on his heads a blasphemous name." So John is seeing this. He's seeing this vision in heaven, but it's pertaining to what's happening on earth at a time future to us. So in verse 1, we want to ask the question, what is this beast? What is the sea? What do the 7 heads mean? What do the 10 horns mean? Crowns on the horns. And what does he mean by blasphemous name? And we're going to try and find that by letting the Bible interpret the Bible. So the very first time the beast is mentioned is in Revelation 11:7, when it says, when they, and we've already covered this, the two witnesses that were able to minister in Jerusalem for 3.5 years during the rebuilding of the third temple and the Jews worshiping in the temple, they're allowing that to happen. They're judging anybody in the earth that comes and is opposed to that effort, we read. Then they, the two witnesses, finished their testimony. The beast, or actually, when they, the two witnesses, finished the testimony, the beast that ascends out of the bottomless pit will make war against them, overcome them, and kill them. So that's the first time we see beast. And it's, to me, it's the same as chapter 13, beast. And where does he come from? It says he comes out of the bottomless pit. Now, if we take this totally literally, I'm just going to tell you where we're going to go with this, and you're going to see where the scripture really supports this, that I will not be surprised if someday the world is shown a cloned, a leader from the past, a Hitler, a Nero, or whatever, that they've cloned, and his soul has been able to come back out of the pit to repossess a cloned human being. Is that possible? I mean, it's absolutely possible. I mean, they can clone humans. It's illegal, but can you believe that it hasn't been done? Hard for me to believe anything. Clone cattle, sheep, all this other stuff. And because what it literally says is that this beast, and we're going to find out, it's not an animal beast. It's not a governmental system. We're going to find out in a few minutes that it is a person. It is a person that when Jesus comes back, he throws him into the lake of fire. So it has to be a human being. But what the Bible says is he comes out of a bottomless pit. Turn to Revelation 17:8. So his origination, when he comes on the scene, somehow he is, you know, he's coming. It's the possession. And some people say, well, it's the devil who comes out of the pit to possess this man. Okay, that could be it too. Revelation 17:8. But it says, the beast that you saw was and is not and will ascend out of the bottomless pit and go to perdition. So he was a person, but then he's not a person. But then he comes out of a bottomless pit and he's then going to go into perdition, destruction in the lake of fire we're going to see. And those who dwell on the earth will marvel, whose names are not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they see the beast that was and is not and yet is. Will the world marvel if all of a sudden Hitler shows up again? Because his DNA, you know, and there's actually pretty significant evidence that he didn't die in his little bomb shelter pit and actually fled to Venezuela in a German submarine and spent many more years living there undercover. And, you know, who knows? Maybe somebody saved his... I don't know. Debbie?
I have a theory. Somebody that the Catholic club and everybody loves, John F. Kennedy.
Yeah.
My theory.
Yeah, okay.
Like, oh,
yeah. Will the world marvel if they clone any great human being from the past and all of a sudden you see them? And there's a lot of speculation. If a human being is cloned, what soul, what's inside of them? Because it's not created by God that gets issued a soul. You know, God creates the assembly line and issues a soul, but when it's created by man or by Satan through some genetic manipulation or what do they get? Well, in this case, apparently maybe, I'm not being dogmatic about this at all. Maybe it's their soul gets to be conjured back from the pit of hell to repossess them with all the same demonic attitude they had when they went against the Jews the last time they were here. It's a possibility. Turn to Revelation 19:19. And what you could do is write on beast, circle beast, go to Revelation, and write into your Bibles on beast in Revelation 13:1, 11, 7, 17, 8, and now 19:19. We're going to go there and see some more about this to see that it's not possible that it can be a government system. What I'm going to do in Revelation 19 is say, the beast is not a governmental system. Why? Because in 19:19, and I saw the beast, the kings of the earth, those ruling under the beast, the Antichrist, this is Jesus at his second coming, and their armies gathered together to make war against him who sat on the horse and against his army. So, again, this has to be a person. This has to be a human being. Because it's the human being and the other leaders of the world are gathered together to make war against Jesus and against his army coming back. When Jesus returns, the world is going to be saying, he's coming. Let's shoot him. Let's launch a missile at this Jesus coming in the clouds of great glory. And verse 20, then the beast was captured. And actually, Daniel, we're going to go there to Daniel later on, but he was killed. Actually, God comes and captures and kills him. The beast was captured, killed, and with him the false prophet. We're going to read about him next week. The false prophet, his right-hand man, who worked signs in his presence by which he, again, it's a human being, deceived those who received the mark of the beast and those who worshipped his image. These two were cast alive into the lake of fire, burning with brimstone. You can't cast a governmental system into the lake of fire, right? you're casting a person into the lake of fire. This is now his final doom. Whatever made him come out of the pit to be now the beast that goes back, Jesus himself throws him into the pit to be there forever and ever. And the rest, those in the armies of the Antichrist assembled for the Battle of Armageddon that God also destroys, were killed, not captured, not thrown into the lake of fire yet. When does that happen? 1,000 years later at the Great White Throne Judgment. You know, the first people to get to the lake of fire forever and ever are the Antichrist and the false prophet. We're killed, not captured, with the sword which proceeded from the mouth of him who sat on the horse. Who's that? Jesus. It's Jesus who comes with the sword of the Spirit. That's all over Isaiah, other places. And their souls go to Hades, waiting for judgment day in Revelation 20. And all the birds were filled with their flesh. So these armies are just laying out in the field in the Battle of Armageddon, and the beasts come and eat on their flesh. So, back to Revelation 13:1. As a summary, what is the beast? It's a person apparently brought back to life, ultimately killed by Jesus, thrown into the pit of hell at Jesus' second coming. So, Revelation 13:1. I saw the beast rising out of the sea. Well, what kind of sea? Is it Pacific Ocean? Atlantic Ocean? Where's this guy coming from? A submarine from Atlantis? Let's see what the Bible says. Let's turn to let's turn to Daniel chapter 7, verse 1. And actually, we're going to go to Daniel, and then we're going to go back to Revelation 17 and have the Bible tell us what the sea is. The sea is all of humanity. He comes out of the sea of humanity, out of the world. And the Antichrist, and really in the sense of the beast ruling over the 10-nation world empire of the whole world, the entire world system. Chapter 7, verse 1 of Daniel. And you might circle the sea and put Daniel 7, 1. Which we're going to cover several verses here. But it says, in the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream and visions of his head while on his bed. Then he wrote down the dream, telling the main facts. Daniel spoke, saying, I saw my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of heaven were stirring up the great sea. And we're going to see what comes out of the great sea are these empires that ruled over the area that affected the Jewish people at the time. And the interpretation of this dream, some of the things I'm going to say are interpreted later on in the scripture, but we're going to keep it short and just read what the interpretation is by unless you read the rest. And verse 3, four great beasts came up from the sea. So from Daniel's time, there's going to be four beasts. In these cases, world empires ruled by a person in the last case. And Daniel makes that clear. So the beasts in Daniel are talking about governmental systems. It is talking about empires that are ruling, that are going to rule over the nation of Israel and, you know, rule the world, the known world at the time. And it says the four great beasts came up out of the sea, each different from the other, out of humanity. And we're going to see this when we clearly it's coming out of the whole world, humanity, when we get to Revelation. So here we see a beast coming up out of the sea, same as we saw in Revelation 13:1. And Daniel explains what these are. Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greece, and then the fourth one is unnamed. And, you know, again, the interpretation comes later. They're named. All these are named compared to chapter 2. They're named except for the fourth. The first was like a lion and had eagle's wings. I watched till its wings were plucked off, and it was lifted up from the earth and made to stand on its 2 feet like a man. And a man's heart was given to it, interpreted by Daniel as Babylon. He says this was Babylon. This part of the vision is Babylon. The first empire, as far as Daniel was concerned, that dealt with the destruction of the Jewish temple in Jerusalem, etc., this great empire that was messing with Israel, was Babylon. And suddenly another beast, a second, like a bear. It was raised up on one side and had 3 ribs in its mouth between its teeth. And they said thus to it, arise, devour much flesh. Who is that? The Medo-Persian Empire that conquered the Babylonians. And that's interpreted by Daniel. He names it. And So Nebuchadnezzar ruled as an absolute king. Whatever he said went. He could just say, you die, and they die. He could say, you live, and you live. And he could change the law. He could do whatever he wanted to as an absolute dictator. What changed when Babylon was conquered by the Medo-Persians? What was the rule of the Medo-Persians that differed from Babylon? It was law. They brought to the world, okay, you know, having a dictator doesn't work out real good because the guy can go nuts and, you know, end up looking, you know, growing claws and feathers and stuff, being a weird guy. And so it's not good. So we want a law because the law can rule over even the man in charge. And so what Medo-Persia brought to the world is the rule of law that we get from the book of Esther, that no one can change. Whatever has been decreed by the law can't be changed, even the king that's ruling it. Ruling over the nation. After this, I looked, and there was another, like a leopard, which had on its back four wings of a bird. The beast also had four heads, and dominion was given to it. And Daniel interprets this as Greece. And Alexander the Great very quickly came on the scene, wiped out the Medo-Persians, had four generals that when Alexander the Great died at a young age, I think it's 32, the empire went to his four generals and spread out. All this greatly interpreted years before it ever happened, to the point where Daniel is believed, you know, the skeptics say there's no way that Daniel wrote this before it all happened. He must have written it afterwards. But then, you know, they've been able to show and prove that that's not the case. Daniel was given these visions in very exacting detail. Well, what did Greece bring to the world in an attempt to rule the world? Brought language and culture and unified religion. So we have three different attempts so far, an all-powerful dictator that can do whatever they want. The rule of law, where the law is the great dictator. And then we have, well, let's just help rule over the people by giving them all a common language, common culture. Everybody has to be the same, talk the same. So then you don't have to really spend a lot of energy ruling over them. We'll just do it that way. After this, I saw in the night vision, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible. And by the way, Daniel never gives a name to this fourth beast, because this one is the beast that's still future to us. It doesn't have a name. Dreadful and terrible, exceedingly strong. It had huge iron teeth. It was devouring, breaking in pieces, and trampling the residue with its feet. It was different from all the beasts that were before it. And it had 10 horns. Now we saw that in Revelation 13. So now we have Daniel talking about there's going to be a beast with 10 horns, and then we have Revelation saying there's a beast with 10 horns. What do the horns mean? We're going to be looking at that. Some think this is pertaining to Rome. See, people thought, well, Daniel's talking about Rome that raised the power. Rome doesn't fit the bill. Rome actually, in a way, never died. The Roman Empire fell apart, but its way of ruling, how did it rule? It, you know, hey, let's have a Senate, let's have checks and powers a little bit, and that is the Western world. That's the Western democracy. Voting. The people get to vote. They get to have representatives. And that's not totally died. It's still here. And out of democracy is going to come a 10-nation world empire. And verse 8, I was considering the horns, and there was another horn, a little one, and this is going to be the Antichrist, the way it's generally understood by literal prophetic teachers. There's a little one that comes up, coming up among them, before whom three of the first horns were plucked out by the roots, and there in this horn were eyes like the eyes of a man, and a mouth speaking pompous words. So what's going to happen is that he sees that there's the horns, by the way, are 10 rulers within that last world empire. And a little horn is going to come up in the midst of them, in the midst of this humanity of the 10-nation world empire, and he's going to take out three of the governors of the world empire. And then as soon as he takes over, he actually becomes the head of the whole thing, and he speaks pompous words. He's going to be the Antichrist. He's going to be possessed of Satan. He's going to be cursing, as we saw in Revelation, he's going to be cursing God and the angels in heaven and the people that follow him. He's going to be speaking pompous words to the world. Written by Daniel, 500 BC. I watched till thrones were put in place and the Ancient of Days was seated. His garment was white as snow. Who's this? This is Jesus, God, you know, in heaven. Daniel seeing in heaven. And the hair of his head was like pure wool. His throne a fiery flame. Its wheels a burning fire. A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. 1,000 thousands ministered to him. 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The court was seated and the books were open. Books were open. You know, Revelation, John was given a scroll, the book open, time to judge, time to deal with the planet, time to take it back from the devil and his followers. I watched then, verse 11, because of the sound of the pompous words which the horn, the king, was speaking. I watched till the beast was slain and its body destroyed and given to the burning fire. Does that sound familiar? Okay, we just went to Revelation and saw the same thing in Revelation 19. So until the Ancient of Days, Jesus comes and he takes the beast and captures him, slays him and throws him into the burning flames of the pit of hell. And as for the rest of the beasts, now see, at the time that the Antichrist is being killed and thrown into the lake of fire, there's other beasts, the other beasts of the 10-nation world empire, the governors that were ruling underneath this little horn that came up, subdued three of those guys, and then took over the whole mess. The rest of the governors of the New World Order, they have their dominion taken away because they die. Yet their lives of not being thrown into the pit of hell along with the Antichrist were prolonged for a season and a time. You know, they aren't banished to the lake of fire like the Antichrist was and the false prophet. I watched in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man coming with the clouds of heaven. He came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. Then to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom that all people, nations, languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom the one which shall not be destroyed. So what does that sound like? That sounds like the second coming of Jesus Christ setting up his 1,000-year reign on earth. So you say, okay, there's this beast of, you know, that was Babylon, a beast that was Medo-Persians, which, by the way, people say, oh, bear, the Russian bear. Is this Russia? Does this have anything to do with Russia? It has nothing to do with Russia. When people want to call the Russian bear, yeah, they call themselves a Russian bear. It has no biblical significance. In context with Daniel, the bear is defined on who it is. It's the Medo-Persian Empire of the past. And the future kingdom we're going to see, we just read in Revelation 13:1 when we read all those verses, the final world order is going to be a combination of all those animals, meaning it's going to be an absolute ruling dictator using law, using language and culture to try and unify the world into the final attempt of global new world order government. They're going to use the combination of all the ideas that have gone before them in attempts to rule the world. So let's turn to Revelation 17:17. We have covered what is the beast. It is a man that apparently comes from the pit and amazes the world. What is the sea? Well, we saw that sea seemed to indicate in Daniel that it's out of the masses of the world. But we're going to see in 17 more about that. But then also, what are the seven heads? In Revelation 13:1, we saw that there were seven heads. So Revelation 17:7, and I know we're skipping around a lot and this can be confusing, but I want to let the Bible interpret the Bible. But the angel said to me, why did you marvel? I tell you the mystery of the woman. So now John sees this woman riding a beast, and of the beast that carries her, which has the seven heads and 10 horns. The beast that you saw was and is not, and will ascend out of the bottomless pit and go to perdition. We saw that. And those who dwell on the earth will marvel, whose names were not written in the book of life, keeping the context here of this section of scripture from the foundation of the world, when they see the beast that was and is not yet is. Here is the mind which has wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sits. Now, Dave Hunt wrote a book on, you know, because this goes off into Revelation 18 also about the seven hills, and he says that it's that this is associated because it's the beast and the false prophet who's the false, he's the religious leader of the world, and he puts it all on Vatican being the seven hills. I don't know if that's true, because I think that the real importance here, the seven heads, is it goes on to say there are also seven kings. So here's the seven heads. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sits, and there are also seven kings. Five have fallen, one is, and the other has not yet come. And when he comes, he must continue a short time. And I want to just admit right here, there's so many different ideas on this, and I have not, it's hard to know. We can't know dogmatically what this is being. What this is. I'll give you the one that makes the most sense to me, is that Revelation is revealing to John that there's actually been seven heads of people that have been dealing with the Jews. Daniel only cared about the ones that were after him. But before him, who were the nations, who were the heads? It was Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, Persia, and Greece. They had all tried to destroy the Jews, to destroy the Jewish people. And again, Book of Revelation is Jewish. And so here's the deal, John. There's seven. This Antichrist is coming, representing all that have tried to kill the Jews over the millennia. The Egyptians, Assyrians, Babylonians, Persians, and Greeks have all been there. And then it says, there are seven kings. Five have fallen. One is. Who's the one is in John's day? The Roman Empire, trying to wipe out the Jews. One is. And the other has not yet come. And when he comes, he must continue a short time. Now, what do we know about the kingdom of the Antichrist? How long does it last? The entire thing lasts 7 years. I mean, these other kingdoms, Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, Persia, Greece, I mean, sometimes, you know, hundreds of years, and oppressing God's people. 7 years is going to be a pretty short time. He's going to come and he's going to be just for a short time. Then it says, the beast that was and is not is himself also the eighth and is of the seven and is going to perdition. So this beast is going to embody all that has ever come before him. He's going to embody all these heads that have been before him. Five are gone, one is, another one's going to come for a short time, and then he's going to be the eighth, culminating everything. At first, so really, the seventh is going to be the 10-nation world empire and the good days of the Antichrist first ruling, and then it's going to be the Antichrist coming to kill all the Jews, which becomes the eighth of the seven, of the 10-nation world empire. And again, it's defined here in verse 11, the beast that was and is not. He was, he is not, as already defined by Revelation, because he came out of the pit to come to make the world go, whoa, where did this guy come from? And he's going to be the eighth and the final. But, you know, there's the seven horns. So, then, verse 12, the 10 horns which you saw are 10 kings. Who have received no kingdom as yet, but they receive authority for 1 hour as kings with the beast. So the beast is bad guy. And then there's 10 kings that aren't really kings. Why? Because there's one king, the Antichrist. And underneath him are, I like to call them governors. The 10 horns which you saw are 10 governors. Because they don't really receive the kingdom. They aren't in charge of the kingdom. The Antichrist is in charge of the kingdom. But they receive authority from the Antichrist to rule for a short time. That these are of one mind, they're all the New World Order, and they will give their power and authority to the beast. The whole world will ante up to the beast. Why? Because he's going to require the world for the last 3.5 years. Everybody is going to have to take his name in their forehead or in their hand and bow to the image of this Antichrist beast, or they will be killed. So everybody is going to give their power and authority to this beast. These will make war with the Lamb. Then all these guys together are going to make war with the Lamb. Who's the Lamb? Jesus. And the Lamb will overcome them, because we already read Revelation 19. They all try to shoot Jesus out of the sky when he comes back with his army. They're all going to make war with him. But Jesus will overcome them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings. And those who are with him are called, chosen, and faithful. You going to be there with him? Chosen and faithful. You know, the Bible says, you know, my Calvinist friends will say, see, the Bible says you're chosen. I mean, the Bible says there's the elect, which is another word for chosen. I go, yeah, it's just how you're chosen. You know, God doesn't just randomly choose. He chooses people that have humbled their heart and said, God, save me. And they humble themselves, turn away from sin and say, God, save me. And God, okay. And so then you become a chosen person. You become faithful to the gospel of Jesus Christ, and you're going to come back with him. Then he said to me, the waters which you saw where the harlot sits are people. Okay, now here's the waters. Here's the oceans, the seas. The waters which you saw where the harlot sits are peoples, multitudes, nations, and tongues. Okay, so getting back to Revelation 13, 1. What is the beast? We've kind of nailed that. What is the sea? According to Daniel and Revelation, it's the peoples, multitudes, nations, tongues. This Antichrist is going to come out of the people, and he's going to be bringing all the world together into this final beast system. In a way, it's a government. Why? Because he's ruling it. But it's really him. He's the beast, but he's ruling the entire world this time. That's what Daniel said. Oh, this fourth beast is so terrible. Why? Because he devours the whole earth for the first time. Babylon didn't devour the whole earth. Medo-Persian didn't devour the whole earth. Greeks didn't. Romans didn't. But the coming one, according to Daniel, is going to be the entire world. That's why I regret the times when I was a young believer and there was so much hype about the European common market, because they said the beast, according to Daniel chapter 9, is going to come out of the people that brought the destruction of the Jewish temple in 70 AD. That was the Romans. And they're saying, so as soon as the European common market gets 10 nations, that's it. You know, we're there. But the Bible makes it clear it's the whole earth. It's not just Europe. It's not a revived European common market. And as I've pointed out before, the European common market, the European Commission has a plan. They have their map. I have their map. It shows they've cut the world up into 10 regions. That's what they want, is they want to abolish all these nation states to get it down to 10 so that they can create a world that doesn't have war. The Bible is going to be fulfilled exactly like it says from a literal interpretation. So in verse 1, going back to 13:1, then I stood on the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rising up out of the sea. Out of the humanity of history, sees a beast of man, having 7 heads, 10 horns, the head of the 10-nation world empire, and on his horns 10 crowns, and on his heads a blasphemous name. And his name is going to be translated into 666, and he's going to have a foul mouth, and everything about this coming world empire is going to be just nothing but verbal vitriol and hatred towards God, towards his Bible, towards his people, Jewish, Christian people. It's going to be an unprecedented time of foul-mouthed hatred to God. And it's going to be terrible for those that are left behind and decide to not bow to the Antichrist. It will be a time of tribulation and death. And then this is so important, verse 2. Now this beast that I saw, this Antichrist, was like a leopard. His feet were like the feet of a bear, and his mouth like the mouth of a lion. The dragon, who's the dragon? The devil Satan, gave him his power, his throne, and great authority. Leopard as fast as Greece in culture and language. Bear ruling with law. Medo-Persians, mouth like a lion, like Nebuchadnezzar. And so he's the embodiment of everything evil that has ever happened in the past in going against the Jewish people. And again, the bearer of Revelation is not Russia. It's all tied to Daniel. And You know, and see, again, when does the Antichrist really rule with evil? It's 3.5 years in the tribulation period. What happened at that same time? Satan got kicked out of heaven and all of his angels. At that time, Satan comes down and goes, okay, you're my man. Somehow he comes out of the pit and the Antichrist comes and he's back into a human form. The whole world's amazed. Satan gives him his power to rule with his throne and to then do his bidding on earth. And I saw one of his heads as if it had been mortally wounded, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world marveled and followed the beast. So they worshiped the dragon, who gave authority to the beast, and they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like the beast, who is able to make war with him? Because they're worshiping the dragon. What does that mean the future of the world is? Worshiping Satan. Do we see the beginning of increased worship of Satan today? Like, unbelievable. A few Sundays ago, I gave the statistics of how many people. And now Wiccans, to be honest, Wiccans say they don't worship Satan. But guess what? They do. they don't want to give it a name, but it's devil worship is up. Satan worship, Wicca is up. As we mentioned last week, Katy Perry sold her soul to the devil. She wants to worship the devil. You get the YouTube video of her singing Dark Horse, and you just see all the satanic imagery that's there. And then after that, you have Madonna falling down last week. Did you see? That was a national news item. It was top of the news in the morning because she was doing her thing with a bunch of demonic horned dancers around her. And they were supposed to pull her cape off. She's on a stage and something didn't let loose. And so she falls down. And so that made it national news. Oh, okay, Madonna's who's serving Satan and has all this demonic, evil stuff all around her. The whole stage scene is demonic. And I told you last week that show that the kids from Good News Club mentioned, Once Upon a Time, last Thursday, I decided, okay, I'm going to go online and watch one of the shows. I just was shocked at the witchcraft, demonic witchcraft, Satan influence, evil, being glorified, very popular show in America. We're already heading there. And as that accelerates and grows, we're going to see people getting possessed and under the influence of Satan. What do they like to do when they're under the influence of Satan? They want to hate you. They want to hate our Jesus, because that's what this is all saying. Hate Jesus. They're going to mock him, fight him, do everything, and hate his people. And so that's going to be the future. Again, we're going to see as we go through here, and we're going to have to stop there for interest of time. I was going to try and get through all the verses we covered, but we're out of time. But once again, the Bible is very clear. This beast, this man, and under the power of Satan, is going to be able to hunt down anybody that fears God on the planet and kill them. There's nothing to rapture at the end of the tribulation period. The tribulation saints get there at the tip of a sword, the guillotine. You know, it says that the Antichrist beheads them. But we can rejoice, right? And isn't the Bible cool? We read those verses, it seems like, man, how can you know? But if you really use the Scripture to interpret the Scripture, it all becomes clear if you look at it literally and you see the stage being set for the very thing that you look at it literally. So that must be what Jesus meant when he put this, is he wants us to wait for that time that it literally comes true. Father, we thank you for your word. And God, as we go our way tonight, I pray that you just help us to realize that you left us these prophecies so that we wouldn't even be shaken or bothered by what we see today. Otherwise, it'd be frightening, as God's people have open eyes and aren't deceived by the wicked one to see the things that are coming. And yet it just is so apparent in so many ways that we're in the days just before you come to take your church home, Lord. And even no matter what happens and what kind of little t tribulation comes our way, even to death, it doesn't matter, because we've overcome the wicked one, because we have not denied your name, and we are cleansed by the blood, and we did not love our lives even to the death. And we love you, Lord, and thank you for that promise from your scripture. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let's stand.
He is exalted, the King is exalted on high. I will praise him, he is exalted forever, exalted, and I will praise his name. He is the Lord, forever his truth shall reign. Heaven and earth rejoice in his holy name. He is exalted, the King is exalted on high. You are exalted, my King, you're exalted on high. I will praise you, you are exalted forever, exalted, and I will praise your name. You are the Lord, forever your truth shall reign. Heaven and earth rejoice in your holy name. You are exalted, my King, you're exalted on high. You are the Lord, forever your truth shall reign. Heaven and earth rejoice in your holy name. You are exalted, my King, you're exalted on high. You are exalted, my King, you're exalted on high.
And that exalted King on high is about to be exalted here on earth, when his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And until that day comes, let's worship and follow him. Amen. God bless you.